And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Hope you found time to enjoy yourselves and to relax and take it easy and not just obsess over the crazy things that the left is doing in our culture. You know, sometimes you've got to give your brain a rest. And I hope you had a chance to do that this weekend. Hope you went to church, had a great time at a good worship service and heard a good word. I had the privilege last night of being with a group of patriots in Fredericksburg, Virginia, who were holding a United States Senate candidate forum for the Republican side, for the Republican nomination. They asked me to come and speak, and I did, and shared with them and heard some great candidates talking about their plans for what they would do in the U.S. Senate. And they had a wonderful time. And I just want to say hello to all of our friends and listeners in that area, because I did have people say, I listen to you on the radio all the time. And I said, oh, that's great. That's great. So, folks, AFR is getting it done, and I am so honored to be a part of it. And thank you all for your prayers. And I, folks, I know I say this often, but I really mean it. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening. Thank you for standing with us and supporting us and encouraging us and helping our partners and all the things you all do. I tell you, I really believe we've got the best radio audience in the world. Sorry, Rush. You can tell. A lot of our audience, of course, listens to other great conservative talk shows, but we are so thankful to you and to God to have you all with us. Well, look, today is an interesting day, a special day. As a Marine Corps veteran, I thought I'd call attention to the fact that this is the day when a group of United States Marines raised the American flag on the island. Oh, my goodness gracious. I want to make sure I pronounce it right. On the island of Suribachi, Mount Suribachi, the crest of Mount Suribachi was where they raised the flag in the Pacific. And, you know, it's an iconic image of those Marines raising that flag. And it was 75 years to, I said the island, it was Mount Suribachi. It's on the island of Iwo Jima, obviously. But 75 years ago, and I love that image. It is really iconic. It is Americana. And I was saying to somebody, in fact, I was in my sermon on Sunday, yesterday, I was saying that, you know, we get saved. Our spirits are saved, but we still have work to do, don't we? I mean, we still, and I believe it's a work of grace in us, but our minds have to be renewed to the truths of God. Our emotions have to be brought under control to reflect the fruit of the Spirit. I said, and our wills need to be changed, trained to do God's will, not our own will. As Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. And I use the Marine Corps as an example. I said, you know, one of the things that Marine Corps boot camp and advanced infantry training does is to teach you to train your will. Because up until that time, most of us had lived our lives doing whatever we wanted to do whenever we wanted to do it. And one of the things that we learned was, well, just because you feel like doing it, just because you might want to do it, just because your body's telling you to do it, doesn't mean you have to do it. Your will can override that and say, no, no, you will not do that right now because I have other priorities. And I use the example of the restrictions on utilizing what we called in the Marine Corps the head, which we now call the restroom or the bathroom. But, you know, we called it the head. And part of the discipline was, no, you don't get just use the head whenever you want to. You use the head when you can, when you're told to. And I said, that was not what we were accustomed to. I said, but I remember a drill instructor saying, so if you're in a firefight, you're in a battle, and you need to relieve yourself, what are you going to do? Say, excuse me, could you guys stop shooting for a while? I've just got to take care of myself, and I'll be right back. You know, I mean, well, obviously, nobody's going to do that, and nobody's going to let you do that. But the point is, you have to train your will to do extraordinary things that you might never have thought you could do. And that picture of those guys after bloody, bloody battle, raising that flag on Mount Hirabachi there on Iwo Jima is just an iconic picture, which to me not only reflects the Marine Corps attitude, the can-do attitude of the Marine Corps, and all my Marines out there, hoorah, simplify, do or die. But it reflects, I think, an American spirit, an American character. It says, you know, we do what we need to do, and we sacrifice, and we train ourselves to go beyond what people might consider to be their human limits. I mean, that's how this country was built. That's how it was pioneered out. People sacrificing and sometimes bleeding and starving and dealing with diseases that people didn't have any cure for, and just pioneering through to get the job done. So I just want to say thank you to not only to our Marines, but to all of our service people out there. Thank you for your service. We appreciate you. You lay it on the line for the rest of us, and we will never, ever forget you for it. All right, folks. Well, there's a lot of other news, and some of it, sadly, I hate to have to report. Some of you probably know Phil Haney. Phil Haney has been an activist, particularly focused on the threat of Islam in our country, the threat of radical Islam and Islamic terrorism. He worked for the Department of Homeland Security and became known to a lot of people because he became a whistleblower during the Obama administration and accused the Obama administration of basically burying a lot of intelligence on radical Islam in America, that he was told to destroy records and all of that. Because, folks, let's just face it here. The Obama administration was committed to being an apologist for Islam. Of course they were. Of course they were. I mean, Obama had written in a book that if the winds, and I'm not quoting exactly, but I remember it fairly accurately, if the winds ever blow against Islam, that he would stand with Islam. Now, there are people who think that Obama is or was a Muslim. I don't know. I don't know. He denies it. I basically take him at his word, but I got immense criticism for this when I said, but whether he is a Muslim or not to me is kind of irrelevant, because the question is, does he have Muslim sensibilities? Is he inclined toward the defense of Islam, even against his own country? That's really the question, not whether he's a Muslim. And frankly, folks, I believe that he was. He never failed to come to the defense of Islam. Never. I never heard him come to the defense of Christianity, but I heard him come to the defense of Islam a lot. Well, Phil Haney was a whistleblower in the Department of Homeland Security. He was fired by the Obama administration for things that he revealed that he thought were going on, that he knew were going on in that administration, in the Department of Homeland Security, that he thought was a threat to America's national security. And of course, he got fired for it, and suffered a tremendous amount of hardship for it, I mean, financial and otherwise. Well, Phil Haney was found, I guess a day or so ago, shot in the chest. They're calling it suicide. And folks, I'm not a conspiratorial thinker, but I think there are a lot of questions to be asked about Phil Haney's death. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
At this point in the election season, it is difficult to predict what will happen once the votes are counted in November. The president could be reelected or defeated. Republicans might win back the House and keep the Senate, or the opposite could occur. It is likely we will once again have a divided government like we currently have. That will mean very little will get done legislatively, but it's worth explaining to the younger generation that was not always the case. Scott Moorfield reminds us that President Richard Nixon appointed four somewhat conservative Supreme Court justices and 231 federal judges, even though his party did not control either the House or Senate. President Ronald Reagan was able to get his signature Economic Recovery Tax Act of 1981 passed both by the Senate and by a Democratic House controlled by Speaker Tip O'Neill. In fact, the two worked together on other bipartisan bills. Bipartisanship also worked the other way. Democrat President Bill Clinton reformed the welfare system with Republican help in the House. President George W. Bush and President Barack Obama each got two Supreme Court justices confirmed with bipartisan support and only a little opposition. And President Obama worked with Republicans to make the Bush tax cuts permanent. By now, you may be thinking how things have changed. President Trump was able to get a bill on criminal justice reform passed, and Congress reluctantly decided to pass a trade bill after voting articles of impeachment. The recent votes illustrate how things have changed. No House Republicans voted for impeachment. Every Senate Democrat voted to remove the president from office. In the past, even when we had divided government, we still had some bipartisan votes. Those days seem long gone, and that is not good for the Republic. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Often parents wonder if they should shield their teen from hearing about their own mistakes. Because, of course, as moms and dads, we don't want the kids to say, "Well, you did it, Dad, so I can do it too." Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Honesty with your teen takes guts, but teens need to hear that they're not the only ones struggling. They're looking for honest, authentic answers, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and intellectually. A parent's got to be prudent about what's shared and when, but the discussion about life choices and mistakes is important. It's part of your child's process of discovery and growth. Are there mistakes in your past that might help someone else make a better decision?
Want more help from Mark Gregston? Find books and other resources online at parentingtodaysteens.org. That's parentingtodaysteens.org.
Brian Fisher here. Pete Buttigieg gives us a terrifying example of the moral damage he will do to our country and our youth as president. The heavyweight champion of the world gives a great victory speech, and Democrat pundits are in absolute total panic over what Sanders' nomination will mean for the party in November. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So, folks, Philip Haney is not just somebody I know of. I mean, I knew Phil personally. In fact, I was with Philip Haney in Iowa. We did a tour. Trevor Loudon, myself, Phil Haney joined us for that tour. He was a speaker at a conference that I was at recently. And Phil has been on my conference calls on numerous occasions. And he and I have talked many times. So he was not a stranger to me. And when I got the email indicating that Phil was dead, my first reaction was I didn't believe it. I just thought it was another one of these internet hoaxes. And my response was, "What? Is this real?" Really kind of cynically, "'cause stop playing games." Because I just didn't believe it. And that was my honest reaction. I just thought that's ridiculous. And then I got that confirmed. And finally, I saw that the major news media were reporting it as well. Some of them, of course. And the conservative media was certainly reporting it. And I realized, wow, this is real. And then I started hearing that Phil had committed suicide. And I thought, suicide? And it just didn't make sense to me. I mean, having seen and talked to Phil, I mean, Phil was an active guy. And I had no sense of Phil being depressed or downhearted, or I never sensed any of that. Well, Trevor Loudon knew him a lot better than I did. And Trevor had known him apparently for years. And Trevor said that, look, the man was about to get married. He and I were planning a tour to Washington State on this whole issue of socialism and communism. He had just written a new book that was scheduled to come out. In other words, this was a man who had lots of plans. Oh, and my understanding is, I haven't verified this, but this is what's been reported, that he was being considered to reinstatement to the Department of Homeland Security, because obviously the Obama administration got rid of him because they didn't want anybody revealing the gross bias of that administration in favor of radical Islam, or certainly in favor of Islam, to the point where they were willing to overlook the indications of Muslim Brotherhood connections and radical Islam, and Phil basically outed them on it. He blew the whistle on this stuff, and they sought to punish him for it. But I didn't see any indication that Phil was giving up. I saw every indication of a fighter. And then I learned that he was missing for several days and then found with a gunshot wound to the chest. A gunshot wound to the chest. And folks, it is very, very, very rare for a person to kill themselves with a gunshot wound to the chest. People usually, if they're going to do that, they really intend to be successful at it, of course, they shoot themselves in the head, because then they know that there's no possibility of their surviving that wound. But they're claiming that, authorities are claiming that he shot himself in the chest and was found along the side of some road after having been missing for, I think, 2 or 3 days. This just doesn't have the ring of truth, frankly. I mean, it just doesn't. And here again, I'm not a conspiratorial thinker. I'm not one of these people who sees conspiracies everywhere. I often believe that the simplest answer is the right one. But this is one of those cases where you just have to wonder, particularly given his background, given the fact that he has been an outspoken opponent of radical Islam, and so much so that he ended up getting kicked out of the Department of Homeland Security because the Obama administration didn't like what he was revealing about the stuff that they were doing. And by the way, you know, notice this. Here's a whistleblower that they didn't, whose anonymity didn't get protected. Here's a whistleblower that got completely and totally exposed. And without putting too fine a point on it, here's a whistleblower who's now dead. So, folks, I hope at least that more information will come out, that there'll be a thorough investigation of this, that we will find out the truth, even if it confirms what we don't expect or what we don't suspect. I mean, if it confirms a suicide, which I just have a hard time believing. I really do. I just have a hard time believing that, having known this person and watched this person and knowing all the plans that were in place for this person. Depressed people usually withdraw, don't they? Don't depressed people usually just try to get away from everybody and go into seclusion? And Phil was the antithesis of that. I mean, he was out there. He was out there, active, engaged, fighting. Here again, folks, I'm not drawing conclusions. I'm just sharing with you my concerns and suspicions over this. Because, you know, I am convinced of this, that while the left is always accusing conservatives of being haters, the fact of the matter is that conservatives, unless we're talking about somebody who's just mentally ill, conservatives are not interested in hurting anybody. Conservatives are not interested in killing anybody. Conservatives are not interested in hating anybody. We just want to live our lives. We want to be left alone. We don't want to have our rights violated. You know, we're not interested in harming anybody, but we just don't want to be harmed. Don't harm me. Don't harm my family. Don't attack us. But, you know, the left, because they don't have the same moral framework, I think they think some people deserve to be hurt. Some, just like socialists and communists always do, right? They decide that some people are enemies of the people, and therefore even killing them becomes a moral thing to do. So you see, within that context, with the rise of socialism and communism being accepted in some circles and people being encouraged with the rise of Antifa, which is an admittedly violent organization. They don't even try to hide it. They don't even pretend otherwise. Antifa is openly violent. So, and then, of course, not to mention radical Islam, things like this happen, and you just have to wonder, at least. You know, you really do have to wonder. And then, you know, we have all across the country, you got Michael Bloomberg running for president. We got Ralph Northam here in Virginia. And what do they want to do? They want to disarm the American people. And folks, that is in throughout human history, that has always been a prelude to tyranny. Always. Always. And I can't see that these leftists in America are any exception. Because criminals don't care about laws. Only law-abiding people get caught up in it. And so that gives you an ability to control a law-abiding person, disarm a law-abiding person, and maybe put a law-abiding person in jail for failing to follow some new technical rules that you come up with about how they may and may not defend themselves. So given this context that we're in right now, it's enough to make you a little bit more suspicious than you might have been in an earlier era in our country. So folks, pray for Phil. I hate to make this a political issue, but it is a political issue because Phil was a political person, and Phil was a staunch, out front activist, and so. Its very nature is. That doesn't mean, however, that we're not praying for his family and praying for his loved ones and those who are deeply affected, obviously, by his death. He will be missed because he was a force in the conservative community and a proclaimer of truth without apology. And you know what? I like that because I think that's what this country needs. And I tell you the truth, folks. I think that's why. I'll tell you the truth, right, because I'm a proclaimer of truth, too. I certainly want to be. I think that's why this president is so beloved by so many and so hated by others, because those who are interested in the truth love him because he's a truth teller. I mean, he just tells you what he's really thinking. You know, he doesn't apologize. He doesn't genuflect. He doesn't use a bunch of political doublespeak so that you don't know what the man said after he gets finished talking. I mean, he tells you where he stands. And sometimes he does it with some colorful language. But look, I mean, that's style. The substance is what ultimately matters, right? The substance is what ultimately matters. And so I think people like Philip Haney and others have to be on their guard. I really do. Not just me, I mean, all of us have to be on our guard because, sadly, there are forces at work in this country that just simply don't want to hear the truth. And instead of being set free by the truth, they want to kill the messenger of truth or destroy the messenger of truth. My friend Jerome Corsi used to write for WorldNet Daily. He's written several books. Jerome Corsi got into the clutches of the special prosecutor. And they were demanding that he plead guilty for something he didn't do. They were demanding it under threat of putting him in prison. He and his wife talked about it, prayed about it, and he said, we're not going to admit to something I didn't do. I'm not doing it. Well, guess what? Once he put his foot down and said, no, I'm not pleading guilty. Prosecute me for what you think I've done wrong, and we'll see. They dropped the charges. See, folks, these people are not, they're not playing fair. They're playing for keeps. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
There he is in modern Jericho, a sycamore tree. Each time I visit Jericho and view the tree, I remember an event which happened in another Jericho, a little farther down the road nearly 2,000 years ago. There was a man short in physical stature in that Jericho by the name of Zacchaeus. One day he climbed a sycamore tree to see a traveling preacher who was to pass through the city. He tried to get a position along the roadside, but the crowd kept pushing him back. To solve the situation, he climbed a sycamore tree. This Zacchaeus was a publican. Now, he wasn't a republican, but a publican. There is a difference. A publican was the title given tax collectors in those days. Tax collectors were hated men in Palestine, for the tax collector was a person who worked with those who had captured and were ruling the country. They were men who, more often than not, used dishonest methods to collect more than they should. But tax collectors were rich men. Why did Zacchaeus wish to see this Galilean? What prompted him, a man of his position, to climb a tree to get a view of a traveling preacher? Well, I feel there were two motives behind his actions. First of all, Zacchaeus was not liked by his fellow Jews. Other people had nothing to do with Zacchaeus. They excluded him from their ranks. He was not one of them. He was scorned, despised, and rejected by his own people. When Zacchaeus decided to go into the tax collecting business, he knew this would be the case. But he was prepared to face the consequences. The large amount of money he would make would be worth the loss of friendship from others. So Zacchaeus was not liked by his own people. So he climbed a tree, so he wouldn't have to mix and mingle with them. But I feel the other motive behind his climbing that tree was more important. Zacchaeus had finally discovered that he didn't like himself. The more Zacchaeus got of what he liked, the less he liked of what he got. A man can live even when no one else likes him, but meaning goes out of life if a person doesn't like himself. Zacchaeus once thought that money was everything, but like Midas in the story of old, he soon learned that the theory of riches bringing happiness was an illusion. When that preacher passed by Zacchaeus, a wonderful thing happened. Zacchaeus found a friend in him. He found someone who liked him despite what he was and had been. And it wasn't long before Zacchaeus began to like himself again. One of his first acts was to give away great sums of the money he had coveted before he had met that man. What can this Christ do for us? One thing he can do is to set us on the road toward liking ourselves again. And you would be surprised at the number of our problems which that simple act will help solve. To most folks, a sycamore tree has no special significance. But to Zacchaeus, it was the most important tree in the world.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And folks, it is interesting, and you can make of this what you will, but on Friday, I had another friend of Philip Haney's on the radio with me. Trevor Loudon was on with me as my guest on Friday. And Trevor made this comment, and I just find it to be ironic, maybe even a little bit prophetic. But Trevor said, you can vote your way into socialism, but you have to shoot your way out. That ran through me. And then this weekend, Philip Haney, who is certainly a warrior against Marxism and socialism and communism, ends up shot dead. So here again, make of it what you will. We don't have all the facts yet, and I've said to you again, I'll say again, I am not drawing conclusions, but I'm simply raising questions because I think questions do need to be raised in this particular case. The number, folks, here is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. I'm going to start taking your calls early. If any of you out there knew who Philip Haney was and you have any comments, I'd be happy to have you share those. Let me remind you folks that tomorrow we have what we call at 12 noon Eastern time, we do what we call a National Awakening Coalition conference call. And we have Jerome Corsi, who I just mentioned. He will be our guest tomorrow on that call. If you want to get the information for that call, just again, email me at ewj@standamerica.us. And likewise, we have a Friday prayer call, and Lord knows our country needs prayer. Whew. Do we need prayer, folks? Because we need an awakening in this country. We need to pull this situation back from the brink. And again, now here you can email prayer@standamerica.us, prayer@standamerica.us, and we'll send you the calling information for that call as well. It's only a 30-minute call. Just spend time for whoever calls in, and people call in all from all over the country to pray for our country, to pray for our president, to pray for our Congress. Yes, we do pray for our Congress. They need prayer. And pray for all of our public officials and of course, anything else that pertains to the future, both the present security and prosperity as well as the future of our country is a fitting subject for prayer. So I want you all to feel free to call in and join in with either of those. I want to remind you also, folks, that on Friday, May 1st, usually known as May Day, the communists have co-opted May Day. Well, we're taking it back. On May 1st, all over the country, we're going to have rallies at state capitals, rallies against socialism and communism. We're calling it Stand Against Socialism and Communism. And people are responding in a major way to this. I really believe this is going to be a big thing because I think the American people have just had it with this stuff. I really just think they've just had it with it. They are shocked at the degree to which people are buying into this. I mean, you could end up with a socialist at the top of the ticket. And by the way, we Christians ought to remind everybody, Bernie Sanders is a confirmed atheist. A confirmed atheist. Bernie Sanders believes there is no God. Now, what's the Bible say? The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So therefore, from a biblical and spiritual and Christian perspective, based on scripture, because I don't want you to think I'm just name-calling, Bernie Sanders is a fool. So do we want a fool for president of the United States? No, we don't. You know, and there's another scripture, folks, in Hosea, I think it's Hosea 8:4. And, you know, I'd never forgotten this text because it jumps out at me every time I see leadership arising that I know cannot possibly please God. But it says this: you set up kings, but not by me. You establish princes, but I do not acknowledge them. God is saying, you choose leadership based on your own wants, needs, desires, but I don't acknowledge them. And if ever there were a leader that God would not acknowledge, is someone who denies the existence of God and tries to usher this country into some sort of socialist communist nation. Because that is the antithesis of everything this nation was established, founded for, and has stood for throughout our history. So, folks, we need to, yeah, we do need to pray. We do need to pray. And, of course, and a bunch of other things as well. Look, these May 1st rallies, folks, this is going to be about information, for informing people what this stuff really is. Because this stuff is really about a totalitarian society. It is really about destroying everything that we know and love about America. That's what this stuff is really about. So it's going to be about information, inspiration, inspiring people. You got to get involved. You can't sit on the sidelines. I don't care who you are. If you cannot sit on the sidelines, period. Don't let anybody around you who loves this country, loves God, understands who we are as a nation, don't let them sit on the sidelines. So it's going to be about information, about inspiration, but it's also going to be about voter registration and mobilization. We've got to get people registered to vote, and we've got to get them mobilized so they come voting day, I don't care if there's 10 feet of snow and there's a hurricane and there's, God forbid, any of that. But we're going to have to get out and vote like we've never voted before. We need a tidal wave to hit these polls come election day of godly, conservative, Christian, Constitution-supporting people to get out there and vote their values. Folks, this is ultimately not about party or personality. It's about principles. It's about principles. Okay, let me get to the lines. I got other subjects I want to bring up, but I'll get to those. Let me give you all a chance to weigh in here. Let's go to Patrick in North Carolina. Patrick, welcome.
Good evening. Good evening, Bishop. Thank you.
Good evening,
Thank
Patrick.
You for letting me speak with you. Yes, sir. I would just love to bring up, I know you said you're not conspiratorial, but I am conspiratorial to the sinew of my bone. Because I was just wondering if you would comment on, do you remember the sad case of Vince Foster?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, sir. How he was just so sadly found dead in front of the White House. Uh-huh. And, you know, and I just wanted to bring, and also the poor, do you remember also the poor lady that was some years ago, how her car was careening out of control in front of the Capitol building was, and they just unloaded on her? People have that's been buried in the story. Lines. I wonder if you could dredge that story back up because it was very sad.
It all is very sad. And of course, the question, Patrick, and thanks for the call, Patrick. I appreciate it. Glad to talk to you. But the question is always, you know, can you link these things together into a pattern? And that's when I say I'm not a conspiratorial thinker. What I'm saying is most of the time, I think you can't. Now, that doesn't mean all of the time. But most of the time, I think you can't, because I think life is really complicated and really are there puppet masters pulling various strings. But as I've said before, in a spiritual sense, the whole thing is a conspiracy, and it's a conspiracy by the devil and his demons, frankly, you know, to destroy what God has built. And in that sense, but yeah, you all remember Vince Foster. Vince Foster was, here again, folks, please don't. I'm not giving you what I know to be factual information, but I'm giving you what has been reported, okay? Vince Foster was reputed to be involved with Hillary Clinton. He was reputed to have had some kind of inappropriate dealings with her and had a lot of information about the Clintons, and that his death was not a suicide, as has been supposed. I don't know. I don't have an opinion on it. I will say this. The Clintons, it's documented that they, a lot of people do tend to die around them. Now, here again, I don't know what to make of that. But that's just a fact. You know, that's just, you know, you can draw whatever conclusion you want, but that's just a fact. So the question is whether you can attribute these things to some kind of concerted effort on the part of a group of people who are controlling all these factors. But you know, when people all think alike, do you really need that anyway? Back in a moment.
This is where we are practicing all the time to be slow to speak and quick to listen.
Tara Mattson on Focus on the Family Minute.
And so those moments where our daughter or son is coming to us and they're setting it up with maybe some fear or, Mom, you might be mad. Dad, I'm not sure what your response is going to be. Those are cues to us of slow down. It's time to listen. And all I'm going to do is really just, I'm going to repeat back to my kid what I think they're trying to tell me. And if I could find something to actually validate and to go, I could see how you're tempted. I could see how you would struggle there. Every girl wants attention from boys. That's normal. Not shaming her for even being tempted there. And then the empathy piece, which is what that might feel like for her. She's feeling scared. I mean, that takes time to do that kind of listening.
It's always good to be quick to listen to your children. More from Tara at familyminute.org.
Audio speed.
Camera speed.
Action.
American Family Studios is made up of a team of producers, directors, and writers.
Austin Brooks, director of American Family Studios.
We use different mediums like animation, film, documentaries, and audio resources to uplift, inspire, and encourage audiences all over the world.
Explore the assortment of resources from American Family Studios at afastore.net.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
AFA supporters Bernie and Alice Larson met Dan Celia at a Faith, Family, and Finance town hall meeting.
And he answered some questions, and we were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
Bernie and Alice learned a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with a monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable gift annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
And you just can't outgive God.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And folks, I forgot one important fact about Phil Haney's death. He had said to multiple friends who have all reported this, that he had said to them, "If I am found dead, it is not suicide." So here again, he actually said that to friends. It has been documented and reported that he said that to multiple friends. Look, if I'm found dead, it's not suicide. So here again, folks, I just can't believe that that's what it was. I just can't believe that. So we'll see as the facts and the investigation unfolds, I suppose. Okay, let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Joshua in Georgia. Joshua, welcome. Joshua, you are on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I heard a little bit of static in the background. Thank you.
That's okay.
For the call, Bishop. When I always thought of socialism as like what they had up in the UK and Canada, which still isn't all that great. What exactly is that government called? Is it like a mix of capitalism and socialism? What is it?
Yeah, there are governments, Joshua, that have what some would call socialist tendencies, policies, programs. So, for example, Canada has universal health insurance, and you could say that is a socialist program. Here's the problem. They may have a socialist program, but it doesn't mean they have a socialist government or that they have a government that is because socialism basically says this, that capitalism is inherently unfair and wrong. And that the only way you can provide justice and equality and fairness and equal distribution of goods and resources is for the government to control it. And Denmark, they talk about Denmark and Sweden, but these countries tried to move in the direction of socialism, and they found out what history has proved again and again. It doesn't work. You create far worse circumstances than you do under any capitalist approach. Is capitalism perfect? No, it's not perfect because there's no perfect system on earth. But capitalism, I believe, free enterprise, has been found to be the very best means of distribution of goods and resources available to man because it leaves each person free to make their own decisions and make their own choices. And even those programs, you talk to people who have used healthcare in Canada, and they will tell you it is a terrible system. And the people who are caught up in it are often trying to figure out a way out, and the people have enough money to buy their way out, which means come to America for their health care, do just that. So it's got a little, you know, this is what Bernie Sanders always says. Well, you know, we've got a lot of socialism now. And, you know, to some extent, he might be right, but we need less of it, not more of it. That's for sure. Okay, let's come to, let's go to Janet in Illinois. Janet, you've been very patient. Thank you. Janet, you're on.
Thank you. Bishop Jackson, I am Nadia's mother, if you remember speaking with her last week, our adopted daughter from Romania. So
Yes.
We listen every day. We appreciate so much the truth that you bring that we can't find anywhere else. And my husband, he listens while he drives trucks, so we listen at home. But I have to tell you, we appreciate you bringing Trevor Loudon on. We listened to your program last week, and we, as a result, yesterday afternoon, we sat and watched his film, The Enemies Within, and it was, if I can make it through this call, just having watched him, and I actually, as we were watching that, I thought, he's got a target on his back. And I thought, I wonder when he's going to be, you know, knocked off.
Wow.
And I know you can't say, you know, on your show maybe that you know he was. I don't have any doubt that that was done by the people who, you know, don't want this truth known. So I have no doubt that he was assassinated.
Well, Janet, look, what we do know is that he's dead of a gunshot wound to the chest, and he told multiple people, if you ever find me dead, it was not suicide. Now, when a person tells somebody that, that is because that person feels there's a target on their back, and they want people to know that if it is designed or staged to look like suicide, they want people to know that that's not the case. So, look, that's why I told you. I am highly suspicious. I like to reserve judgment, but I'm highly suspicious of that. It just doesn't make a bit of sense to me, and I hope we can ultimately get to the bottom of it. So, Janet, well, thank you for your call, and I'm glad you watched Enemies Within. And, folks, that's what we call this program, The Awakening. That's what we're trying to do, you know, wake everybody up. Now, the people listening are probably already awake, but we want to provide all the information that we can to give you plenty of ammunition, metaphorically speaking, of course, to deal with those who are trying to, quote, fundamentally transform this nation into some sort of socialist nightmare. Let's go to Sandra in Texas. Sandra, you are on. Welcome. Sandra, you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Yes, I have two quick comments, sir. One of them is something I read on Facebook that you probably have already read or heard about, and it says, to anger a conservative, tell him a lie. To anger a liberal, tell him the truth. And then my comment, one more comment, not, it's about, excuse me, this Philip Haney. I heard that man speak probably about 2 years ago now and tell his story, and it was on a program called Francis and Friends. It's Francis Swaggart. She has a panel of their pastors, and they discuss current events with a biblical perspective like you do. And I'm just sure that I took notes on that. But he did expose just exactly what you said a while ago about what was going on and how he objected to it. He felt like it was unsafe for this country.
Well, Sandra, I am glad that you had some exposure to Philip Haney. He was somebody worth listening to, and it's sad that that he will no longer be with us. But I'll tell you one thing. I know this because I've become very close friends with Trevor Loudon. Trevor will never be silenced, and neither will I. And, you know, this is my attitude about this stuff, and I know this, forgive me if this comes across as a little bit macabre, but I don't mean it to. See, I really don't believe, folks, even though I know that there are people out there who would love to hurt me and hurt others that they feel are exposing truth that they don't want heard. I just don't believe that God is going to let me leave here until he's done with me and I'm done doing what he has for me to do. Now, that is my faith, okay? That is my faith. So, I mean, I'm just crazy enough to believe that, you know, you try to shoot me, God will bend the bullet. You know, I mean, because if he's not done with me, he's going to say, nope, can't do it. He's got stuff to do. So here again, folks, and I'm not making judgments about anybody else or any other situation. I'm just saying that is my faith, that God will let me finish everything I've got to do. And I think all of us should really have the same attitude. God, I'm not leaving here until you're done with me. You know, sometimes tragedies like this, in an ironic way, in a prophetic way, tend to advance the cause that people are trying to stop. You know what I mean? In other words, people just get that much more incensed and committed to what they're doing when they see tragedy befalling or even tragedy being brought upon someone for the things that they've stood for. See, so Phil Haney's death, if it indeed is murder, it doesn't deter me. It just makes me that much more determined. It just makes me that much more ready to fight. Because no, you're not going to stop us and you're not going to destroy this country. We're not going to have it. To quote the President of the United States, America will never be a socialist, communist, Marxist country. Okay, Sandra, thank you for the call. Let's see if we can get a couple more in here before we have to go. Let's go to Earl in Virginia. Earl, welcome. You're on.
Yes, Bishop. I wanted to make a couple of comments on socialism, but I did want to just kind of preface my comments. I am African-American. I'm an attorney. And I consider myself to be middle class, upper middle class from an income standpoint. The comment I wanted to make about socialism is that I don't believe that things should transition to socialism. But just as you commented, I think there are some principles of this idea that still can be utilized and not claim that we are a socialist government. I think we dangle this capitalist idea that really only 1% or less of the individuals really realize that idea. I mean, it's almost like when you put children in all these sports, how many of them can be in the NBA? And so we keep dangling the hope of everyone having equality and income and all of these other things, and it really just does not come to fruition.
I got it, Earl. I'm running out of time, but let me take a couple minutes to a minute, because I don't even have a couple minutes to respond to your point. First of all, it was Marx that coined the phrase capitalism, and we probably do ourselves a disservice to use it, because what we're really talking about is free enterprise and freedom, the ability of each individual to make his or her own choices. And what we're really trying to create is an opportunity society in which not in which everybody can be equal. I don't think that's even reasonable. But I think in which everybody has the opportunity to fulfill their God-given gifts and talents and abilities. That's what it's all about. I mean, one guy decides he wants to be a baker and loves having a bakery shop. And that's really all he wants to do because he's satisfied with it. Another guy decides he wants to play the stock market. He wants to be a broker. One leads to one place, another leads to another place. That's their choice. So I think what we offer is opportunity to fulfill your God-given gifts and talents and abilities. Everybody doesn't want to be a businessman. Everybody doesn't want to be an entertainer. Some people love digging their fingers in the dirt. Let them do it if that's what makes them happy. But we want opportunities for people to be who they are. Gotta go, folks. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.